It's Monday, October 19th. It's 9 o'clock Mountain Time. That means it's time for Tom and Shane on YouTube and Facebook. And boy, here we are, Tom and Shane, Facebook and YouTube Live. We're here every weekday at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. So please share that information with your friends if you wouldn't mind doing that. We would greatly appreciate it if you would do that. And of course, we're on every Saturday live. You can listen to us anywhere in the world. KMMSAM.com, Tom and Shane Radio Show, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Just click listen now at KMMSAM.com. You can call us, you can text us, and by all means, share that also. And if you missed any of our shows, you can watch our past shows at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast over there. And please share that information as well. And if you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe, like us, comment, and share that with your friends. So, Shane, we haven't been on in a while.
No, you haven't. And there's, 15 days left, and it's election day.
Yeah, we got kind of snafu'd with Apple with me, so we kind of had some issues here. So by all means, we're happy to be here with you. And the thing we should mention to you, if you're a new viewer here or whatever, that today is going to be a good example of you're going to hear stuff here that you are not going to hear other places. And I can almost guarantee that because I've been watching all week, and I know you have, Shane. So hey. Ain't gonna happen.
Well, you know, it's a narrative line. It's quite fascinating when you look at the town halls. The numbers for viewership were phenomenal for Trump, but nobody watched Biden. it's all about numbers because of money.
Yeah,
and you know, NBC was lauded for allowing him a format to talk. Between that and you know his social media, which is like 150 million people, it's pretty apparent that he's still got it, baby. You know, people want to listen to him. They want to talk. You know, hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
So everyone was sort of happy on that side of the room, except Hollywood and the West and East Coast, and they weren't. And then, of course, I think it was ABC that Biden was really not happy because, you know, no ratings, no tips.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was surprised that Biden didn't win that ratings deal because I thought everyone would tune in to hear his answer to Biden's emails and stuff like that. I thought more people would go over there. We've heard Trump. You know, all the Trump people have heard Trump. And no Democrats are going to tune into Trump, or, well, very few are. But all the Democrats are going to be over there to see what Biden's going to say. And also how Stephanopoulos was going to ask him, how they were going to handle it. And if any of the questioners would do it. And obviously, for 90 minutes, nothing.
Well, as I tell you, I mean, for the show and for my own self interest, I go on YouTube and I watch local news in major cities.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was fascinating in the last 2 weeks was for the first time, they were actually covering less of the destruction, still riotings and peaceful protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And actually were focusing on this question about packing the court. I mean, people seem very disturbed by it. So this has come forward and it sort of forced the woke media, the national media, to pursue him on this. That's led to these lid days where he doesn't get out of his hole. Mm-hmm. And so now the media doesn't even show up anymore. And so when you start compiling these things and then people start hearing this issue about, the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, and packing it. And his response, they did come out with, I'll tell you after the election, it's none of your business. You're not smart enough to know anyway.
Yeah.
And you culminate that with the Barrett hearings and the choices and, the question that Trump asked. And where's your list, Joe, I know it's seems like a strange topic, but I think it's affected Biden's overall campaign in that everyone's all of a sudden woke up to the fact that, my God, the man's been in a bunker for a year, And one of the best lines, because I went back and listened to the town hall with Trump, another good one, was, you know, he said, "I'm the president. I can't sit in a hole in the basement."
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So I think these things are sort of, you know, September, they always say no one pays attention that the U.S. is going to vote until September.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's gone on between that, and I think that Pelosi's gotten blamed for not getting this new, you know, this new
stimulus going. Yeah.
Trump's done it all along with these Democrats and worked out deals, and people have seen things out. So they all know that Trump's gets things done. And if he's not, someone's blocking him. And, you know, it's in the past, Republicans always got blamed for that stuff.
Yeah.
I really think this time around, Americans are looking at this going, no, it's Pelosi and the Democrats. Go, damn, demolition party. They're just doing it again to us.
All right. Well, as we know, since we've been off the air for a while, of course, the big story is the Biden laptop and the New York Post story. And Shane, I'm going to ask you something right now that none of the main media is going to ask anybody or anything else. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that the Post story is accurate. All right. That emails are flying around and they show Biden and whatever. Okay. So apparently, from what some of the emails lead us to believe, is that Biden's son is sharing the money with dad. Right.
Well, he's sort of acting like a Chinese wall.
Yeah. He's a broker for Pop. Okay. Now, here's my question. Biden just released his tax returns. Where's the money?
There's all kinds of places it could be.
Well, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, you know, that if there are other charges, tax evasion will be one of them, I would think.
Well, I think, look, the whole issue with Biden's son is you can yell to the top of your lungs that he didn't do anything wrong. It's not illegal. Well, I'm sorry. It just doesn't wash. It doesn't look good.
It's not illegal to share money with your pop.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, like all the things that they're, you know, no one's confirmed. Yeah. But the most important, two things that are important. One, no one can accuse them of having this information illegally because they've provided their source, right?
Yeah. That's what I say. You know, apparently the New York Post went after this, confirming this pretty heavily,
Yeah. And then, you know, the second thing is the Biden campaign and Hunter himself, neither of them have denied it.
Yeah, I was going to say, nobody's come out and said, well, Biden said, I forget what he called it, but, you know, the typical response from him when he was asked about smear campaign. He called it a smear campaign. Yeah, that's right.
Cancel culture.
Yeah, right. Well, the other burning question is the big guy in Biden's emails, Obama. Wouldn't Biden be the second big guy?
Definitely number two. Yeah.
Wouldn't he be number two big guy?
Smaller
guy? Wouldn't he be the smaller guy?
I sort of get the feeling that his son, based on the problems that he's got, the issues and stuff, that, big guy, he'd be referring to his dad.
Yeah.
I would love it to be Obama, but Obama's got other problems.
But this is a question. You know, when you have somebody unidentified and you're talking about the top of the, you know, when you're talking about the White House, you know, just like Nixon, you know, all Haldeman and Ehrlichman and Dean and, you know, but where's Nixon in this, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't seem to be there's 18 emails missing in this little scandal.
Well, not that we can see yet, or redacted.
Yeah.
You know, that's the great thing about this one is nothing's redacted. So that makes it really sort of harsh, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you know, that as I say, our job here is just to explore these questions and let people make up their own minds. But that was one that as soon as I saw that email with big guy in it, I thought, why do we assume that's, could it be Putin? Could it be, who else could it be?
Well, you know, we've been hearing from everybody else, you know, the Durham investigation and this and that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and from Barr, there'd be other information, right, about the Hunter Biden. and that there are other countries involved and so. And then it, you know, the, these emails now talk about Hungary and Kazakhstan. You know, like they're the big, some big bucks out of Kazakhstan from these emails too.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And, of course, what is it, Armenia and whatever the other stand place over Armenia, there, they're going at it. They're going at it.
It looks like Trump may have gotten the nomination for a peaceful settlement, you know, with Armenia and Serbia and all those guys. But Biden got paid for it.
Yeah. That's why I say
irony. There's got to be an irony in there somewhere.
Apparently Trump's not the wheeler dealer. Everybody claims he is.
We know Trump's not the big guy. Okay?
I was going to say, if he's not getting bucks for this, I don't know if I'm going to vote for him if he's not that smart.
Yeah, exactly. The art of the deal. He should actually be the big guy. Right?
That's right. He should be the big guy for sure.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that happened also while we were gone, of course, is Justice Amy Berry or Amy Coney Barrett rather, was selected or at least made it through the hearings, and they're going to vote on her. I think probably the 22nd or 23rd, somewhere in there.
Yeah. 22nd. Yeah, this week. Yeah, it'll be Thursday or Friday. They'll vote and it'll be done.
Yeah, they usually traditionally they wait a week, you know, in case anything comes up or any, you know, like they did Kavanaugh, of course.
They were delayed on that one because there was another FBI investigation.
Right? Well, I know. Yeah, we had to open a whole new deal on him. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so obviously I guess they've looked at Amy's yearbooks and decided that, she's not Ralphing anywhere. And, didn't send any topless pictures to Girls Gone Wild or whatever.
Remember the Bikini Club.
Yeah, no, she was pretty okay there. But I understand the fear of the Democrats of having her on the court, certainly, can you imagine somebody that interprets the Constitution as it's written being on the court? Oh, my God.
Well,
what's the upside to that?
You know, we have seen this before. And, we won't know until she starts making decisions. Even the first two that Trump has picked, they haven't moved, they haven't made or written decisions exactly the way that conservatives would have liked. You know?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Gorsuch bailed on one. I think Kavanaugh bailed on another one. And we saw the same thing. We thought Roberts would kill the Affordable Care Act. And instead of killing it, he found a way. He went out of his way to find a way to make it work. So,
yeah, those Republicans.
So Bush is thinking, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. whose side are you guys on?
Whose side are you on?
Oh, that's right. That's who you're supposed to be on.
Yeah. Whose side are you on anyway? So, well, it'll be interesting to see if, because on Gorsuch, I think Matt. What's his name? Mana something from North Carolina or South Carolina, one of those over there, voted across the line. In fact, three Democrats crossed the line and voted for Gorsuch, I believe.
But it proves, too, once again, that the objectivity of the legislative bodies of your country, particularly the Supreme Court, is to protect the rights of the minority. You know, civil rights. That's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, all this talk about, you know, the being originalist, and I think the most originalist thought every justice gets from every other justice whenever they meet, whenever they talk, is, oh, look, the Constitution of the Bill of Rights has been written to protect the minority's rights. And that's what we're here to, because the legislative branch, you know, and the executive branch, all they're concerned about is the majority. So it's interesting to see if that continues, because that's, I know they call it a liberal left, or they're not interpreting the Constitution. But if you think of all the civil rights changes that have occurred in the last 50 years have been basically pushed, supported, initiated by the court, right?
Mm-hmm.
In some way or form. So there you go. I mean, that's what I clearly have seen in my region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. That
which, by the way, is a positive way of talking about this conversation.
Yeah.
Without getting people scared and threatening them and getting upset, and not giving them good cause, good reason why there exists this difference between, the branches of your government, which you sort of learn in social studies, but they don't teach it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's what I say. Our job here is just to throw out ideas, and as you can see, you're welcome to comment either on YouTube or on Facebook, either one, and we'll be happy to entertain those thoughts as we go along here. So, the other thing that's come up, of course, is the stimulus bill, Shane. And Nancy says, get it done or else. Who's been holding it up, Nancy?
Or else what, right?
Like, yeah. That's what I say. Yeah. Yeah, Nancy, I don't know that you're in a position to threaten anyone.
No.
You're the Democrats who are out of work and, living from hand to mouth are wondering, hey, where's my $400 or where's my $1,200 or whatever.
Well, and once again, Nancy plays it both ways.
Yeah.
She doesn't acknowledge she's worked with Trump and passed certain things, like the tax deal.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen without Nancy Pelosi, folks.
No, doesn't happen.
But people, I think, they sort of wised up to this. And Trump shouldn't be saying we passed the tax thing. Look, I passed this tax, tax reduction with the Democrats.
Yeah.
And they couldn't have done it without him. So that's how mm-hmm. it goes. And then people would out and out believe that he can't get anything done with her on this.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting aspect to the politics in your country. Nobody wants to give anybody credit.
But I know. Well, the Democrats certainly don't want to give Trump any kind of a victory 3 weeks before the election. I don't blame them. I don't blame them for that. Certainly, that's just not very smart politics. But it's one thing to hold back some legislation. If it's a highway bill, for example, okay, we can get by with some potholes for a while. But when you're talking about the American people that are trying to eat and pay bills and, do all of this stuff, I'm not sure that that is the I'm not sure that's the hill you want to die on.
Well, and the other thing is really important that in this few days or 2 weeks left before the election, once again, Trump is getting the opportunity for Americans to learn about the government. So what are you learning? Well, what you're learning is every week that the Democrat majority in the House of the caucus, they sit in a big room
mm-hmm.
and they have lunch and they discuss and get up and make speeches to one another, and talk about what they're going to do. No one's ever allowed in. No one ever has been. Same with the Republicans.
Right.
And no, of course, no masks or anything else like that are allowed in either.
Do they have the architect come in and measure the seats like they did in the hearing for Barrett?
So, this whole thing about Nancy Pelosi controls the narrative. She controls the party. She controls mm-hmm. the money because she's been the money person for the Democrats. That's how she's kept power. But
yeah,
you can tell when she backs up, when she steps back from a comment or even pushes forward on a comment. Mm-hmm. It's coming from the caucus. Like the whole thing she did last week, we're going to talk about the 25th Amendment, come back tomorrow. Well, that was from the caucus, and she tried mm-hmm. to make, she thought, this is so stupid, I can't even, I have to go out there and say this, so how do I, at least she came up with something original. Like,
well, that's true.
I won't talk about it today, but come back tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Well, also, too, a lot of us think that, this commission that she wants to create to assess the president is for Biden, not for Trump. So when Biden gets in there, they can throw him out as being senile, and Harris will take over. And man, then the stuff hits the fan.
Oh yeah,
if that happens. So
and I can't believe with the senators that are running for office this year. Mm-hmm. you know, it's that it's the better year in the Senate for the Democrats because there's fewer senators up and more Republican. But you, I can't believe that not one of those Democrats jumped up and said, "I'll run the commission. Mention my name."
That's right. AOC says, "Put me on there along with my four friends."
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's
that'll be the day.
But you know, for just in real, just a quick response again.
Yeah.
You know, some of the Republican senators during the hearings did okay because it's a defensive play, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, when you're playing offense in the Senate and in these committees, particularly with a Supreme Court justice in front of the nominee, it's just sad that these people. There's so many things she could have asked that by the way, the ratings on it were huge.
Oh yeah,
there were like 30 million people watching it every day. So they didn't handle it very well. I mean, I think there's a lot more things they could have talked about with things that are relevant to people's everyday lives and stuff.
Yeah. Well, two or three of them were campaigning. Cornyn was, of course, in Texas, and Lindsey Graham talking about North Carolina getting $1 billion more. Only three states get 30% of the whatever it is. You know, so there some of these folks that were up for re-election were obviously campaigning there because they knew they had a big audience. And yeah, there's probably a lot of people from their state watching. So why not take advantage of it? And
Spartacus Booker, he tried.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's in the same boat. So, so a lot of these were just nothing more than campaign speeches. I forgot to look up whether Sheldon Whitehouse was up for re-election or not with all his pontification and no questions asked and dirty money and everything. And then you turn around and look at where his money comes from.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, hey, Kettle, you're black.
The flame is still orange.
That's right. You're black. Yeah. That's tough. Well, the other thing about the coronavirus, Shane, is one in four workers are thinking about quitting their jobs because the stress, worrying about getting COVID at work, bringing it home to your family. What do you do if you have to quarantine for 14 days? You're not paid. There's a lot of stress out there for a lot of these people that are going back to work. And you think about 25% of the workforce is thinking about quitting. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is with this. You know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Should we open the whole economy and let the chips fall where they may? And, you know, the people that die, die, and the people that recover, recover. And, you know, we try to go on with our lives. Or what do we do with this thing? At least until we get a vaccine or a good... a good pharmaceutical, that can help us, then I think we're in limbo.
Well, you're at 0.5% of your total population that dies annually, about 1.8 million people. So, with 325 million people, 1% death would be 3.5 million people. That's too big a number. No political party, no economic suggestion, nothing would survive that kind of a number. But that's what you're looking at. And I think the reality is that with the world enjoined as it is in trade and travel and everything that we've seen, certainly with the COVID, this could just as easily happen again. It's a virus not going to go away. We've been saying this for 19 months. But... you know, you try to manage it as best you can. And I don't know. At some point, a vaccination that seems to work will drive people to take it by opening the economy, right?
Well, I think so.
That may be your answer.
Yeah.
The only other answer is what a lot of other people that haven't the media to banter them. Like my granddaughter is 5 years old today. We had a birthday party for her yesterday. There are 15 people there, 15, 16 little girls all running around, and four of them are young boys. And they're all millennials, so they're all basically 30 to 45 year old. Mm-hmm. And they were hugging and, you know, kissing and shaking, and there was no dancing or anything. And, you know, but yeah. There wasn't a lot of social distancing because they all know each other, right? Several of them were in the medical industry that were there. Mm. And we're not shut down, basically. Well, we are to some degree, bars and some other areas. Mm-hmm. But, like, we still have in-class, you know, as I've told everyone, the in-class teaching. You know, grade preschool to high school. The colleges aren't doing well because they're open, but a lot of people didn't show up, Tom. Yeah. Like, you know. So
that's why I say that's the same thing as the one in four workers think about quitting their jobs. Do students, even though the recovery is good in that age range, mm-hmm. you know, of a college age people, you're unless you got some, you know, weird side effect going on or some other medical issue, you're probably not even gonna have very many symptoms or whatever. But still, you got to be quarantined for, you know, a number of days. You got to have testing and all this stuff. And you know, people are wondering, hey, I'll just get on YouTube and learn it.
Well, I was the oldest guy at the party, and I didn't even have a mask gun with a frown on it. And I just talked to everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I just sort of thought mentally, mm-hmm. I was sort of, well, and then I realized, oh, I'm in a closed room. So I was in the dining room, and it was mm-hmm. nice enough weather, so I opened the door to the dining room. I thought, I'll just keep letting some air in so it would flow through, right?
Sure, yeah.
And then I went to the living room, and I opened the window in the living room.
Oh, you're the man. All right.
I try to minimize the exposure to make good.
That's it. For those of you who aren't aware of it, Shane's in Canada. He's in Cantaloupe this weekend, Cantaloupe or whatever. And normally is Vancouver, British Columbia, but visiting his daughters and our daughter, one or both or all of them.
Well, one's Australia, but so here we are, October 19th, folks. No mm-hmm. snow. Not even the iron. Now we got a little bit of a snow yesterday, but mm-hmm. we probably got more snow in the mountains there than we do.
Yeah, yeah, we got some snow on the ground here, but yeah.
What about the mountains, though? Is there any?
Oh yeah, there's snows all over the mountains. Yeah, the mountains are beautiful. We went over to Billings the other day and come back, and all the tall mountains are snow capped and looking really good. So
yeah, so there you go. And here we are, 500 miles north of you, no snow in the mountains. Weird.
Yeah. Well, the other news that the Biden campaign is not going to like, Shane, is that GM's going to open a Detroit auto plant again, and they're going to hire at least 2,200 workers. That won't be right away because they got to refurbish the plant. But it's been sitting idle. So that's going to be good for Detroit. And there's and for the gal who's running in Detroit for a House seat there, she is black, and you know, she's saying, "Hey, what have the Democrats done for you lately? You know, what's the deal?" So, but the other thing, now the downside of this plant is, I hate this, Shane. There are certain things in this world that are just wrong. You know, they're wrong. And to make an electric Hummer is wrong, Shane. That's wrong. A Hummer has to have, you know, it's got to make noise. It's got to roar down the, you know, you can't go zzz down the road in a Hummer. Come on.
Well,
if I had the money, I wouldn't buy one.
I agree. But it was quite fascinating that you mentioned it. 3 weeks ago, we went fishing, saw four of them. I mean, couldn't believe it. I mean, they're older models, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like these things get like 8 miles per gallon, right?
Yeah. Well, that's fine if you can afford to buy one, you know. But this would be like back in the Detroit Mopar days of you know, the big. You know, the Dodge Chargers and the, you know, all of that stuff, and you go,
Yeah, right.
I mean, come on.
The tails on them.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to watch the Indianapolis 500 was going around the track? I don't think so. I mean, you know, your chest needs to vibrate as they come by.
You know what I mean? You'd like to think so, but all that's changed.
I don't know.
Now, the other thing, too, is that it's interesting that they're opening a plant and you're saying, you know, 2,000 or more jobs. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, 70 years ago, a plant would have had 20, 25,000 jobs.
Oh, yeah, it would, yeah.
Yeah, but it's all automated, so.
Yeah, a lot of it's automated
now. Yeah, I think
but,
get all this, Japan's doing the same thing, or China, and it's causing a stir. You know, they announced their numbers for their GDP, and they're up 4.6%, or
4.9, I think it is.
The last quarter.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
But overall,
they suck.
1.6. But they're going to big automation because of none other than Elon Musk, because you know he built a plant over there. Well, now that they've got the technology,
Now that we've stolen it,
now
that we hacked everything in the building, let's go.
So like, so they're starting to go to automation too. Well, that doesn't
sure
that 400 million in the middle.
Yeah, why not?
No.
You know, that's
a lot. It's a lot of people.
Well, it is. Yeah. Well, the other thing too, you got to realize these are going to be union jobs. They're going to be pretty high paying jobs.
Yes.
In Detroit, I mean, they're not going to be $15 an hour jobs working on the assembly line there. They're going to be in the $20-$30 an hour range probably. So
or more. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a pretty nice piece of change to bring into Detroit, the buying power. Plus, you've got all the other things that are attached to it, that these workers will take their wives out to dinner, they'll go to movies, if the movies are open, of course, or if they can eat in a restaurant, or maybe they'll just go to the park and enjoy their tax dollars there.
You know, and you covered it really well, but I don't think there was a single place you mentioned that is...
is open, yeah. Let's go to the gym. Yeah, let's go to the gym. Then we'll get something to eat. And then we'll see a movie. No, I don't think so. you're gonna be ordering a pizza and sitting home watching Netflix.
Well, yeah, because you know, 9 months ago it was a to-do list. Today, it's, can I do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put all these things down on a list, and can I go do that? Can I go buy groceries? Can I go to a restaurant? Can I go get a coffee? Oh, yes, of course, they're open.
Yeah.
It's all those essential things, you know, and bear witness to this, folks, because if you are, everything that's essential is demolition.
All right? Yeah, it's pretty much.
Product,
yeah.
You know, supported enterprise. So.
Yeah. Well, that's, I don't know what New York is going to do, man. People are leaving there in droves, and
New York.
They're looking at what? I forget the number of restaurants they think are going to close permanently in New York.
Well, if you get a guide from New York, they'll tell you in every guide there's over 60,000 restaurants.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about the entire city. We're talking just about Manhattan. Like,
Big,
and you know, and you walk around, and literally it's block after block after block of restaurants. So, it's obviously a major purveyor. And another number, you know, that the Republicans don't make reference to, right? Small businesses. They're the ones who've lost the 10 million jobs. And, you know, that's why we talk about it so much, because it's so relative.
That's true, yeah.
You know, but when you look at manufacturing and union jobs, government jobs, they haven't been scarred or, you know, raped or pillaged. You know, they're all getting their checks.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that is happening, Shane, that we're probably all well aware of, easy for me to say.
Here, try again.
Record numbers of police are retiring in Chicago, in New York, in Seattle today. I think I forget the numbers they were talking about, that the number of police that are retiring or taking early retirement. In fact, just to get out of there. And can you blame them if the city is not going to support you?
Well, I'm surprised it's not a bigger number. They're saying, you know, 3-4%, and 3-4%, you're talking about 30,000-35,000, you know, potential officers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like the same issue with teachers. They keep talking about the fact your country is 1.5 million short of teachers.
Yeah. You
know, you're about 3 million short in registered nurses. You know, 4,000 short in about with doctors, general practitioners. And you know, we have similar numbers. You know, the, mm-hmm. it's difficult. But this was happening before COVID, too, right? There wasn't
right. Yeah.
Like in Kamloops that you'd like to grind me about. You know, mm-hmm. it's a city similar in size to yours. It's over 100,000 people in the valley. Mm-hmm. And but there's like one general practitioner for 10,000, you know, people or something crazy like that. It's or
well, yeah.
I mean, 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're thinking that, you know, there's not 1,000 doctors in the valley. It's like, wow, that's.
Well, you certainly think so. Yeah, that there should be, you know, there should be more. But yeah, I mean, this has a serious effect on all of these big cities, you know, and the rank and file, the, you know, the law abiding voter, black, white, Asian, take your pick. Would rather have police in their neighborhoods.
Well, that's why I think, you know, when you say 1 out of 4 people want to quit their jobs, I really think those are service-oriented people because no money.
Yeah.
And, you know, 70 to 80% of their salary is tips.
Mm-hmm.
And so bars and restaurants are open, but, you know, between, you know, Black White Lives Matter and eating your lunch, literally.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Calling you out for being... Yeah. We're just friendly, sitting there,
you know, having beer on a summer day.
Yeah, right.
Between that and just not having being open, I don't think people are tipping anywhere near they were tipping before, right?
Well, yeah, you got to have an income.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not generating an income, I think you're going to quit.
I'm guessing the hot dog vendors are probably doing better than the restaurants.
Huh? I would probably bet they are.
Probably for a $4 hot dog or whatever.
Yeah, how would social distancing work on that?
I don't know. Yeah, you hand the hot dog to them on a stick.
That's right, as they walk by.
It's a corn dog on a really long stick.
Long stick, yeah.
6 foot
and they're
stick,
regular,
yeah.
So you know what they like on it.
That's right, yeah. So that would be it. Well, we've got another COVID-19 issue, Shane, that, again, you think it there, we say it here, that storage of the vaccine's got to be refrigerated.
Of course it does, yeah.
So 3 billion people in the world don't have great refrigeration. They don't have power grids. They don't have a lot of this stuff. And they're going to be at the bottom of the heap to get these vaccines. And... You know, some of these third world countries, it's just not going to be possible to have a potent vaccine there at the right temperature to administer it.
That's so true. And that's why one of the great curiosities of this H1N1 season in this last year, no one really talked about the fact that over 600,000 people globally died.
Yeah.
So it's one of these situations, and a lot of it has nothing to do with except what you talked about, being able to deliver it, and provide it. Pretty hard when you have a continent now in that called Africa with 500 million people.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that would be one of the third world countries. You know, some of the bigger cities, obviously, you can take care of some of the larger cities because they have the facilities to do it, or they can be brought in. But, you know, in the outlying and the rural areas, well, it was like the Ebola and all of that. You know, you couldn't get out there to take care of those people out there. And a lot of people died of Ebola other.
That's why watching BBC is so sometimes sad. You see these film crew go into third world countries and they go into a hospital and stuff. And literally, folks, if you haven't watched it, the beds frame, like the bed frames, they're like the 1950s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and all the stoic equipment to to hang things from they're 50 years old.
Yeah.
And the buildings are all built by the British or Dutch who were there, 75 years ago.
Yeah.
So you look outside in a major city in Africa, if you get a chance, you can go on YouTube and do it. And you see what appears to be a pretty viable urban center. There's lots of new buildings, a lot of old buildings, but there's lots of new buildings. And then you start thinking, well, that place is so corrupt. How did they build the building?
How did they get in there?
Yeah, exactly. So there's all these things that you look at that are very sad. And Tom's right. Having a vaccine doesn't necessarily mean you end up with one.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And as you know, Joe Biden's been questioning how are we going to get this vaccine to all the Americans out there? And you and I have talked about it, and you're pretty confident the military can get it around the country sufficiently. But this refrigeration issue is an issue in transportation.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It's like a heart, kidney.
Yeah.
They've got 2 hours to deliver it. You have to be within 2 hours of where the donated organ came from. So, it's a difficult thing. There are limitations on everything in this life.
Amen. So, these are the things that a lot of people just don't think about. And
but you too, Eagle Man. You stay up late at night not to finish your homework, but to think about things.
Yeah, I do. I thought about Biden's tax return. So where's all the money that Hunter gave him? there's nothing wrong with keeping money offshore. You can keep it in the Cayman Islands. You can keep it anywhere as long as you let the IRS know how much it is and where it is.
It's
no law against it.
And, I was in the business of being a retail broker and a financial advisor for 15 years and moved on to other things. And, I told all the time, I had clients that would come either to me or that were making money, or because they were, a lot of people I dealt with were promoters and miners, prospectors, and they they found a mine and made lots of money. Like the diamond play was huge.
Yeah.
And I happened to be involved in that. And, several of them said, so what do I do with this money? I said, you invest it. Well, but I don't want to pay taxes on it. I said, yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
There's no amount that you're going to.
I was going to say, you can put some money in tax-free municipal bonds or something like that if you want to,
We had the Barbadian two-step, and the problem about setting it up, it's not expensive to set up. It's probably like $10,000, but you need a family member that's prepared to go live in Barbados for 2 years and give up their citizenship and become a Barbadian. Yeah. And then, in that case, you find all kinds of people in the family that'll do it, right?
Yeah, well.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Barbados is all that safe, but I think it depends on where you live.
I can tell you it's sunny.
Yeah. Can I send the dog? Can the dog live over there for me?
Yeah. Right.
Just in case?
It's one of the islands in the Caribbean. It's a failing island. But the only thing that's kept us alive is the Canadian tax treaty they have, because it funds it, basically.
Yeah. All right. Let's see some other items. Of course, Trump and Biden are both out. Well, Trump is. Biden's kind of. Biden's doing campaign light.
Yes, right. Exactly. Very good.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Trump's making up for lost time, doing two or three rallies a day. Did two yesterday. I think he's got two going on today. So, yeah, they're definitely getting out there. The other thing, too, that I forget the exact number of how many people have attended Trump rallies, but I do remember the number for Biden's, 84. 84 people have attended his rallies since we got back to regular campaigning. So,
got to be a bias there somewhere, right?
Yeah, there's, well, they're in they're all in the circles, these little circles out there. Yeah. You know,
well, and
10 or 12 people show up at each one. So,
and the majority of them used to be press.
Yeah.
You know, a dozen press people would show up, you know. Now it's like maybe four or five or someone local because he won't take any questions.
Well, and he's not going to say anything that you haven't already heard. So, yeah, that's the issue there. And Trump's still, still stopping and talking to reporters before he gets on a plane or getting off the plane or whatever. I mean, the guy will take questions. You got to give him kudos for that part.
Oh, yeah. He goes on radio shows, local radio shows, and does interviews with local media. And, when I started seeing that back in March, April, I thought it was quite fascinating. At first, it was just radio shows, you know, we've all seen him on Fox, you know, where he'll call in. Mm-hmm. But he calls in to radio stations across the country.
It makes sense for him to do that. And I think 40 million people tuned in to hear him on Rush the other day when he did that radio rally there. Even Pence got 3,000 or 4,000 people at a rally he did. So, you know, I mean, I think there was one thing that Biden and Harris both went to, and they got off the plane. There was nobody there, other than reporters.
And
that was it. No flags, no hats, nothing.
And the media, you know, the 30-second clip you see of it, he's waving, and there's no one there. And,
I think he's waving.
Who are you waving to, Joe? Come on.
Now, there was some military and some Secret Service out of camera. Yeah. There were, yeah. So let's not give false news here, or fake news, because he was waving at someone. He wasn't waving at an empty field.
Okay. Looked like an empty field.
It looked like an empty field, but yeah, they say there were people out of camera. So, Well, Thursday is going to be a big day because we've got a partisan moderator, a very Democrat moderator, going to be on with Trump. She has registered as a Democrat in the past. She's not registered now as either Republican or Democrat, so I guess that gives her a free ride. But her dad gave $20,000 to Obama, and she's been a Democrat forever, so... can't we find someone impartial? I realize that reporters and people in the media are gonna have political views and ideas, you know, but in my case, you know, we're on radio, Shane. I don't give money to either party. You know, because I'm open to interview anybody. You know?
I think that the funny thing about it is I think a simple format with one moderator, and the only job the moderator does is to make sure they have a half an hour each or 90 minutes each, right? Like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you make it an hour and a half debate and just let them go at it. Like, you know, and start off with Mr. Biden or Vice President, you have a question for the president, and then, you know, just back and forth. And when they debated for 5 minutes, and Mr. President, you have a question for Mr. Biden.
Yeah,
and that's it. Let them
go at it. Yeah,
yeah, like sure. Yeah, listening to Wallace for 3 minutes before he asked the question was a total waste of time.
I agree. And they do seem to preface these questions way. I mean, it's like, have they been watching Senate hearings? You know, it's 14 minutes before you actually ask the question, you know?
You know, right now the Federal Reserve says that inflation rate's 1.7. What's your feeling on that, Mr. Biden, Mr. Trump? You know, and let them go at it, right?
Yeah.
Let you know.
Well, the other thing, they're not going to cover anything that's important to the American people in this debate that's coming up. They're going to talk about climate change. They're going to talk about the virus. They're going to talk about some other things. But the top things that people want to know about is the economy. When's the economy coming back?
That's
and,
right.
And, you know, and but climate change is way down the list. Come on.
Well, I'm waiting for the new numbers from the Paris Accord. Because literally a year ago in November, when they released their numbers, the U.S. had done, the U.S. was the only country in the world that had reduced their CO2 output by 2.2%. That's a big percentage.
Well, it is.
Over 10 years, that's 22%.
Yeah.
You know, well, 22 years, that's 40. That's half. That's a lot.
Well, the thing about the Paris Peace Accord, there's no reason on earth to be in it because it's got no teeth. There's no penalty, you know, if you don't reach goals. You know, I mean, you just go on as normal and you say, oh, we're in the Paris Peace Accord because we care about global warming. But, hey, a coal plant over there, get going. Open that baby up. Let's go.
Yeah, and you know, the whole idea was they were going to have some carbon credit deal where – China and India would buy from Europe and North America their, you know, carbon credits because they were uber polluting. And that somehow would reduce the amount of CO2.
Yeah. Sounds to me like a redistribution of wealth.
Of CO2.
Yeah, of CO2. Yeah, we're just, You want to save.
It might have worked, you know.
You want to save CO2? Blow up your own tires.
Yeah.
By mouth, yeah.
Just don't get near my oranges, okay?
That's right. That's right. Well, I don't know how good the debates actually are, whether they help people or hurt people, or I don't know that they change anyone's mind because you know they're going to stick to their talking points, and
I don't know about Trump. I don't think Trump has talking.
Well, Trump doesn't. No, but I mean the Biden's going to stick to his talking points.
Yeah, I think Biden will pretty
and
well-
the. And there's no question the topics are pretty well rigged when you talk about climate change and the COVID virus. Those are weak points for Trump if you're a climate change agreeer. You know, if you're a climate change denier,
I watched it on local news. Now they really do talk about COVID.
Oh, they do. No question.
They don't talk about it the way the national media does. They have interviews with doctors and nurses, and they're all saying, oh, you know, we have our emergency rooms aren't full. We have all the personal protection we need. And the government, you know, the federal government's done really well to provide us with respirators and all kinds of other equipment. And we're getting really great information on, you know, these trials and we're working with the government who we would want first to be back. So this is what you're hearing on local news about.
Yeah.
It's not Trump's an idiot. He's murdered these people. He's a killer. He's, you know, that's all the cover up for Cuomo and the idiot in New Jersey, you know, what they did. And I just see it that way. I mean, it doesn't make any other sense. So it's a really interesting factor. And because you know, you sent me this great article about the polls and, you know, we've gone back and forth about it. And I mean, I really like to play the devil's advocate and give you the benefit of the doubt that, you know, the pollsters aren't doing the same thing as they were doing in 2016. And so my skinny for you on this is it's a national poll on popular vote. So, you know, but you and I have agreed, like, you know, several of the major states, Biden will get a great amount of the vote, and so he'll probably win. But when you're looking on the face of it, you know, you've got to get like 32 states to win, and so winning 18 states that are big states with popular vote doesn't
cut it. Yeah. Well, that's why we have an electoral college.
That's the point.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not
why we need it, too, because otherwise, you know, us in Montana, we might as well not vote at all except for local people. we might as well not even get in the nation.
You guys all started out as the Confederation. Look, yeah. We've got everything you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Some of our comments going on. Bruce says, I listen on my KMMS app. Yes. AM 1450 KMMS. Get downloaded on your app. AM 1450 KMMS. KMMS, I should say. Ed's here. Good morning, Ed. And James says, after the last debate, I asked many of my friends what they thought of it. Besides the standard embarrassing display, I found most, if not all, my blue-collar workers supported Trump. My educated friends were split, maybe 65 to 35, favoring Biden. And the observation is, it seems the Democrat Party has lost the working man base they previously enjoyed.
Well, and his second number there, a split of 65-35. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If the 35%, you know, didn't like it and don't vote,
it's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and if they vote and they vote for Trump, it is over.
Yeah. Well, Norma says, hey, Tom, I waited in line 2 hours to vote in Dallas. The talk in line was, we got this. So there you are.
There's certain states, I think, that it's pretty clear.
Well, Texas certainly has been a red state, but they've got a lot of close races down there. You know, as
you have
I
a
said,
lot of congressional Democratic seats in the urban areas, Dallas and Fort Worth, and you know, there's some big cities in Texas. So,
yeah,
and you know, it's an interesting thing. I just want to make this observation.
Sure.
When people move, for the sake of argument, we'll say a conservative family, they tend to go more rural. Like when I say rural, like a secondary city. You know, like I've said about you, you know, like it's a secondary city to Billings or Great Falls, right?
Yeah.
Missoula is a secondary city. Liberals tend to go to big cities. You know, like if they leave a big city in a state, they'll go to a big city in a state. I'm not saying all of them, but I would say 60-70% of the people left L.A., San Francisco, you know, Sacramento. They probably went to Dallas or, you know what I mean? One of the big states.
Could be.
Yeah, I just see that.
Well, the other thing, too, is that there are some senators, John Cornyn, for one, who is up for senator in
Texas.
And you probably saw him on the Coney Barrett hearings, of course.
Correct.
He's distancing himself from Trump, as are several other Republicans. They don't want him campaigning for him. They don't want him anywhere near him. So, you know, I mean, it's not all, you know.
Right? Yeah. We'll see how details work out, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Johnson's up from Indiana, but he won because of Trump, you know. So, it's one of those things. Dillis, who says he's not going to run again in 24, won because of Trump. He got reelected because of Trump.
Yeah.
So, you know, Daines got elected because of Trump.
Mm.
Sure.
I would think so. Yeah. Well, as we've said many times about Montana, you know, the coattails of Trump didn't work for Gianforte. Yeah.
That's right.
You
know? That's absolutely right.
I don't know why, you know, when you carry the whole state, why the... you know, why the governor would be reelected unless it's a known entity, known against unknown. The incumbent always has an advantage, usually does anyway, because it's a known entity. You know, either you like him or you don't. But
it's going to be interesting, too, in the next 2 weeks, how short the American memory is of what happened this summer.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Because it did just happen in Democratic states. Yeah. I mean, the fact that Biden or Trump, whatever, Biden denies it and Trump talks about it all the time. Once again, local news is going to have a bearing on the electorate. And I'm curious to see because there are a lot of other states like Montana. They're not that populated, right? So,
Sure. Yeah, there are. And that's the problem. When you take the whole center of the country as red, You know, you've got about as many people as you have in New York City and, you know, L.A. and San Diego and whatever.
Are like a million to 5 million people.
That's why the Electoral College is so important to keep. You know, I've often said in Montana, we've got 56 counties. We should use the Electoral College here, that you have to go campaign in each of the counties. You know, otherwise you win Billings, Great Falls, and Missoula, and Bozeman, and you're done. You don't have to go to any other city. You don't have to listen to anybody else.
A lot of barbecue there.
That's right.
Well, and like we've talked, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, some of the counties in your state are owned by one family. So,
well, yeah.
Can I come over and have a coffee, Mabel?
Right. Come on down. Oh, gosh, I don't know. But anyway, we've also seen here, not only can you vote after Election Day, apparently you can send your ballot in up to 50 days later or whatever. I don't know. Well, that's an exaggeration. It's probably about 4 or 5 days. But anyway, some states are going to allow ballots if the voters die before Election Day. If you fill out your ballot and then you croak, you know, your vote counts. So talk about dead Democrats voting. There you are.
So clearly people in charge of the election are not reading the obituary.
Apparently not. So, yeah, I wonder how you...
I don't read them either. I don't know why people pay to put obituaries in.
I don't know. Anyway, well, I just hope mine's a ways off. But anyway...
but I mean, why isn't there a happy birthday section?
Yeah, there should be, yeah.
They care
so
much about their parents to write an obituary.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you put a happy birthday card every year in? Gee, Mom, we're so glad you're 101. Could you die? Because we want the house, okay?
Yeah, right. We want the money, Mom.
Yeah, we've been waiting for like 20 years. Yeah. Give it up.
If they had to make every ballot authenticated from a live person, then Kennedy would have lost to Nixon probably.
You're probably right about that one.
And if they have to authenticate all those, we won't know who's president until Memorial Day or later, July 4th probably. That's not a good sign. Well,
now you figured out how to keep Trump in office in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, when 2024 comes along, you keep Trump in office by not having a settled election. And, you know, he'll just say, I'll just stay around, you know.
All right.
You know, because the House can convene or the mm-hmm. governor.
Yeah.
Depending on the split, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they can pick whoever they want. They don't pick anybody that was.
That's true. Well, the other thing, too, we're going to, I think Nevada, we're going to have a new senator one way or the other by the end of the year. I think they've got a runoff election. So that could change the temperament of the Senate, and that's why it's so important to get Barrett confirmed now rather than later. China, we reported this already, but we'll just kind of revisit it again. I'm not sure how accurate... I can believe their numbers, Shane. I'm not sure what they're based on.
Oh, come on. Aren't you going to bet on it?
Yeah. If they're growing 4.9% and we're growing 2% or less, I don't know. I'm a little suspect of that. So I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. I think if I was going to bet, if I was going to buy an ETF,
exchange-traded fund.
That's the only way I would buy, like, third world or developing world, you know, stocks. I don't think I'd go, like, the stock alone. I'd do the basket thing.
Yeah, there you go.
They're all communists, so they do everything in a basket anyway, right?
There you are. All right. We are out of time. Hey, don't forget that we are on every day at this time, 9 a.m. Mountain Time. Check the clock wherever you are and make sure that you tune every day. Share it with your friends. Let them know we're on here on Facebook and we're on YouTube. So, You know, pass it along to friends and neighbors that you might have. We're trying to grow our little family here of folks that tune in and listen to us. And also, we are live on the air Saturdays, 8 to 11. You can hear us anywhere in the world. Click KMMSAM.com. Don't forget the AM, KMMSAM.com. And just click on Listen Now. And you can call us. You can text us. You know, we're just like a worldwide radio show on Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time, and be sure to check that out. And if you missed any of our past shows, you can watch all of them or listen to them if it's only audio. And those are also at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast and make sure you share that with your friends as well. And if you're watching us on YouTube right now, hey, like us, subscribe, and comment on our podcast because Facebook likes that kind of stuff, you know. So, and please share our face or our YouTube channel with your friends because, hey, we enjoy being here. We hope you enjoy listening to us and all of that. So thanks for watching and thanks for listening. And say goodbye, Shane.
I will indeed. Be happy, be safe. All of you that were kind enough to listen today, live in the moment. So important, like on your granddaughter's birthday. Live to work. And God bless the American people and the Canadian people. And thank goodness we all, including Tom and I, live in the two best country clubs in the world.
That's right. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for being here. We got one more comment up here. Let's see. Great show. Thank you. Glad you are back. Well, we are too, Linda, so we appreciate that very much. So,
thank you, Linda.
All right, that'll wrap it up for us. We will see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. Until then, be happy, be safe, like Shane says. We'll be back tomorrow.